You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, we are talking about another family and nurturing theme. And this is actually self-nurturing. And so I know last episode we covered nurturing as a whole, but there are actually subcategories of nurturing. And I think it's really important that we're able to recognize and identify the differences. So as I mentioned last time, nurturing is typically associated with positive activities, giving things to another, caring for another, holding, hugging, taking care of sick individuals, et cetera, et cetera. So nurturing is almost always directed at someone else in a positive way. Self-nurturing is the theme that I want to talk about today, and that is specifically when the child is being nurturing to themselves. And that is a distinct difference from positive activities toward another versus positive activities toward the self. And so I think that's very helpful because it gives us a different framework from which to understand themes and symbolic play when a child is caring for someone else versus caring for themselves. So when you see self-nurturing theme, you will typically be able to recognize that when the child is using any kind of infantile things in the room to comfort him or herself. So they may take the baby bottle, they may take the pacifier, they may take a blanket and curl up in a fetal position, they may crawl around. So any type of infantile or baby type of toys in the room, and then those toys are used to comfort the child. So they might drink out of a bottle, they might suck on the pacifier, they might get a pillow and a blanket and tuck themselves into bed and make sure that they're, you know, snug, ready to go to sleep. So the self-nurturing theme is really important as far as meanings. So let's spend a little bit of time talking through those. So sometimes if a child is acting out self-nurturing themes, they desperately need nurturing, but they don't believe that someone will provide it for them, or they don't trust that anyone is going to do that, so they will do it for themselves. So their experience has been they don't get the nurturing that they need or want, so they provide it for themselves, or they don't trust that it's going to be provided for them. So that's a very powerful understanding if you see a child acting out self-nurturing themes. Another potential meaning is they use self-nurturing to comfort themselves after they've done another type of really deep emotional work in the playroom. In other words, they play through something really deep, really emotional, a little bit overwhelming, some kind of difficult play theme. And they actually use self-nurturing to kind of reset themselves and kind of, you know, comfort them through the difficulty of the play. So if it comes on the heels of an emotional break and they switch to self-nurturing theme, and you can sense that it is actually related to the previous work that they were doing, then that is unique and distinct to the other theme. And it's actually giving them a moment to kind of reset themselves. Another option is that they don't have healthy attachment, and so they have become super responsible for their own care. In other words, they don't have a relationship with a caregiver or a parent that they feel fulfilled in, and so therefore, with no attachment, they just become hyper responsible to care for themselves. And another final possible meaning is they do the self-nurturing play, and it's actually, it's interesting because this doesn't happen often, but I have had kids that they start to self-nurture and they intentionally distance themselves from the therapist. So I've had kids that purposefully move as far away in the room as they can get, and they won't make eye contact anymore. They won't talk anymore. So they're actually creating distance and moving away from the therapist in the room. And it's honestly that self-responsibility and the, I need to do this myself, and I know that I'm not going to be able to get it from anyone else. And again, lack of trust. But sometimes that self-nurturing play is, you can very clearly see that they are separating even from you as the therapist. So those are the potential meanings of self-nurturing play. I think it's really important to recognize categories of nurturing, because nurturing and caregiving is a very, very common theme. We see it often, especially later in our work. It doesn't always come out early on because the hierarchy means that other themes are usually more dominant at the beginning. But as the child starts to move into later themes, we almost always see nurturing or caregiving emerge. And so it's really important to recognize nurturing theme versus self-nurturing theme. And next episode, we're actually going to talk about failed nurturing theme. So definitely different categories within the nurturing and caregiving. And it's important that we understand the different meanings, because when we think back to just nurturing play as a general rule, you know, they have a strong need for being nurtured, or they're trying to get accepted by the therapist, or they just have a really large desire to be nurturing and caring for others. But that is a very different motivation than self-nurturing, which is almost always they don't have trust and attachment and relationship strength and safety. So definitely a distinction worth noting. Hope that's helpful to you. Next time we will talk through failed nurturing theme, which kind of opens up a whole other door for the nurturing and caregiving theme. So thanks very much for being a part of the Play Therapy Podcast family. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.